You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Shoftim, and in our Parsha, we're going to see a small discussion that we get in a lengthy discussion in the Medrash. Pasuk says, Perek Chav Pasuk Yud, chapter 20, verse 10 of Deuteronomy. Ki sikrav el ir leilachim lo. When you approach a city, you want to do battle with it. So the first thing before you do battle is see if they're interested in peace. And in the pasuk, when we talk about peace, we mean, are they interested in surrender? If they're not interested in a war, so they open up to you. So whoever you find inside of that city becomes your servants. They need to pay you a tax. But if they're not interested in becoming your servants, so then you will wage war with them. Okay, so I'm not going to get into what happens after that. But I do want to read to you the Medrash, which extensively speaks about the concept of peace. And it's interesting because the pasuk itself, conceptually, peace means you come under my dominion, right? But we're going to speak about peace in a different vein. Says the Medrash, Parsha Hey, section Tesvav. We get a lengthy talk about the power of peace. Come and see. When a human being has an enemy, so he wants to see, he tries to see what he can do to him, right? How can I get away with causing my enemy damage without him per se even knowing about it? So the individual who hates somebody else wants to cause him harm. So he'll go to somebody who's wealthy. He'll be nice to the guy who's wealthy. He'll butter him up and then say, can you do some kind of damage for the person, for this particular person, the one who he hates? Listen to this. Hashem is different. And obviously, whenever we see something about Hashem himself, as it were, so this is a lesson for each of us, because we're supposed to emulate Hashem, Hashem's good ways. All of the idol worshippers, they anger Hashem. Those who deny his existence anger him, as it were. Now that person who denies that God exists, his soul goes up to the heavens every night, goes to sleep. The soul of every living creature is in Hashem's hands. Now, Hashem does not say, oh, this guy's a lousy guy. I'm going to get him back. I'm not going to wake up in the morning. That's not what happens. But rather, Hashem gives back the soul to every individual, even those who despise God, even those who defy God. Pasuk in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 says that Hashem gives the souls to all of those who dwell upon the land. So, before we get to the next thing, there's a whole bunch of different teachings here in regards to peace, but the first one is, Hashem has power over all the individuals, even those that we would say that God hates, even those that deny God's existence, even those that behave as if God is not there. So, well, what does Hashem do, even though he has power over them? He gives them life. He causes them to wake up in the morning. Okay, so it's a lesson, a powerful lesson. It's the entire Sefer HaSamer Timer Devira that we need to emulate Hashem's ways, His loving kindness, that Hashem is constantly giving life, even to those who are actually sinning against Him with this very moment of life that Hashem is giving them. Okay, so we see what it means, peace. We see what the concept of peace means. It means a high level of vitur, a high level of forgiveness, of giving up my own power against somebody, someone causes me damage, should I not respond? We learn from Hashem that that's not the right thing to do. Another example, says the Medrash. If let's say someone does, Reuven does something really not nice to Shimon. Shimon's hurt by it. He's upset. Tells his wife. You know, how long does it take for that resentment to go away? It's not so quick, right? The way the Medrash says it is, it doesn't leave his heart forever. Right? It's inside of his heart still. Even when I forgive somebody for something they've done wrong, it's not always the same as it was before. It's still in my heart. God is not that way. The Jewish people who are God's special chosen nation. So we were in Egypt and we were being treated terribly. We were slaves. They made us work with brick and mortar. After all the bad things that the nation of Egypt did to the Jewish people, Hashem still expressed that we are to show them kindness. The Pasuk says, you shall not treat Egyptians in a negative way because you were a stranger in their land, which means to say that there's such a thing as appreciating when someone has done me kindness, even though they've also done something wrong for me. They've also done terrible things to me. The Egyptians oppressed us. They enslaved us. They treated us like dogs. But we lived in their land. And we need to show them Hakaras HaTov. We need to show gratitude. Ela ritfu achar shalom shenemar. Rather, run after peace. Bakish shalom rodfeu. Seek peace. Run after peace. So, I mean, that requires running after peace. You have to be a serious runner in order to not notice that someone has done wrong to you because they've also done something nice to you. Right? That's really hard. That's a difficult challenge. But the Medrash is telling us that that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the Torah is teaching us. When the Torah says about the Egyptians that we are to show them gratitude that we lived in their land, it's saying don't look at the bad stuff. Don't look at the bad stuff. Look at the good stuff. Another explanation, what does it mean to seek out peace and run after it? This is a story we learned together elsewhere in another Medrash. A story of the Rabbi Meir. There was a Rav, his name was Rabbi Meir, and he was saying a drasha on a Friday night. And it went long. A woman was at the shir, she came home, the lights were out. The candle had been extinguished. Amar la baila hechanais. Her husband said, where were you? Ad achshav, until now. She said I was listening to Rabbi Meir. He was saying a drasha. Vayosa ish leitzan. That particular guy was a clown, or as the Mefarshim explained here, was a rasha. She said, she was told by her husband, you can't get into my house until you spit in the face of Rabbi Meir. So she left. She left her husband's house. She was kicked out of her husband's house. Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, was, we could say, half man, half spirit, right? We know that he went up to heaven in a fiery chariot, right? And he has reappeared, and he continues to reappear to this very day to teach great people things that they need to be taught. So Eliyahu HaNavi appears to Rabbi Meir. He tells him, because of your long drasha, a woman was kicked out of her home. And he told Elijah the prophet, explained to Rabbi Meir what the whole story was, what her husband had told her, don't come Don't come home until you spit in his face. What did Rabbi Meir do? He sat in the great study hall. This woman was a righteous woman. She came to pray. So Rabbi Meir sees her. This is the lady. He knows, and he made himself look as if he was sick. He had an eye infection. And he said, "Who knows how to cure an eye infection with their saliva?" Interesting in this version of it. So she says that she does know what to do. In the other version, she said she didn't know what to do. Okay. So she did it. And she spit in his eye, spit in his face. So Rabbi Meir says to her, "Now you can go home to your husband and say to him, I spat in the face of Rabbi Meir." Go and appease your husband. We see the power of peace. So, I think about it. What's happening in the story? Rabbi Meir is showing an incredible gvura, an incredible strength. I mean, the guy, the leitzan, the clown, the evil individual, the wicked individual, had told her, his wife, to spit in Rabbi Meir's face for saying a long drasha, causing her to come home late. You know, that's not my friend. If you're Rabbi Meir, that's not your friend, right? But Rabbi Meir didn't care about his own honor. Rabbi Meir didn't care about this guy being wicked and saying for her to spit in his face. He cared about a husband and a wife, that their relationship should be mended. That's what he cared about. That was more important to him than his own honor. Unbelievable power of peace. Rabbi Akiva says, what is the great power of peace? This is parallel with what Rabbi Meir did. He gave up on his own honor. Hashem himself, as it were, gives up on his own honor. The Torah commands us that if you write Hashem's name, you can't erase it. But the Torah also commands that if you have a woman who seems to have been unfaithful, you're allowed to erase Hashem's name into the Mayim Amorim, into the bitter waters. You're allowed to allow Hashem's name to be Nimchak, erased into the waters, in order to prove her innocence so she should come back into a relationship with her husband. Now, we're not talking about a tzaddikus here. We're not talking about a righteous woman, not a righteous guy. She's been seen with someone else. It's not a good thing. But still, the honor of Hashem allows his own honor to be erased in order that this Rashanta, this evil, wicked woman, should be able to return to her husband. Incredible thing. So again, I want to point out that we all have lots of reasons. This is an important thing. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, El begins now. So Shchodesh Elul. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, I'm to my beloved and my beloved is to me. You know, everyone talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, the king is in the field, right? So it's a special time, but at the same time, it's also a time to think about our relationship with our fellow man, right? We're going to come into Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we're rededicating ourselves in our relationship with Hashem. But Hashem says, "I can't forgive you for the stuff that you've done to my other kids. You've got to ask them for forgiveness." It's hard to ask for forgiveness, especially when we feel like they've done something wrong to us. But what we see here is that my job is not to think about the other person, what they've done wrong. My job is not to think about how bad they are, or how much they hurt me, or even how wicked that person is. If I've got something that I've done wrong in that, I gotta clean it up. I have to find peace. Find another example, Reish Lakish says, of peace, that the brothers and Yosef, the brothers suspected that maybe Yosef was still angry at them after Yaakov Avinu died. So they told him a lie. They said that their father had said, treat them well, don't be upset at them for what they did to you. Yaakov had never said that. They're afraid that after Yaakov died, he would avenge what they had done. They had sold him into slavery. They said to him, your father commanded before he died that this is what you should say to Yosef. We don't find that Yaakov actually said that, that he should treat them well. It's interesting, it's set up as the psukim tell us something which is untrue in order for us to get to a state of peace. Or alternatively, the brothers were permitted to say something which wasn't precisely true. Maybe it would have been something that Yaakov would have said if he would have known. He didn't even know about the story, according to many opinions. Right? So they were permitted to say something which was a half-truth or which wasn't true at all in order that there should be peace. Sometimes you gotta say a little white lie in order to maintain peace between people, between fellows. It's known that Aaron HaKohen, Aaron the priest, he was Ayav Shalom, Ve'Raidav Shalom. He loved peace, he pursued peace. He tried to, if there were people in fights, so he would go to either side and say, you know, the other person really wants to reconcile with you. And then he would go to the second guy and he would say, you know, the other guy really wants to reconcile with you. And they would end up getting back together. Now, it wasn't true until he said it. Right? But it's permitted. It is not only permitted, but it is obligated to bring about peace. Sometimes, through subterfuge. Imagine she says another aspect of it. Peace is very dear. This is something that Hashem gave to Zion. Shenemar, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. Zion, Tzion is another name for Jerusalem. Pasuk says, in Tehillim Kuf Chaf Beis, chapter 122 of Psalms, request the peace of Jerusalem. Right, so shalom is something which is, we're asking for. We're asking that there be peace in Yerushalayim. Yishalom mecheder shalom and v'arman esayich. We want peace. We know, I mean, it's all over the Nevi'im, that the final war of the world, which might be what we're in the middle of now, final war of the world has to do with the peace of Jerusalem. Everyone comes to fight over Jerusalem. But ultimately there's peace. It brings about a new age of peace. So Jerusalem is associated with the concept of peace. Yerushalayim itself, the name of Jerusalem, Salem, is Shalom. Yerushalayim. Yerushalom. Jerusalem. So the city itself, its very name, denotes the concept of peace. Another place that we see that peace is something which is very dear to Hashem is because God placed it in the heavens, right? Obviously, God wants to keep it close to Him, as it were. God makes peace in the lofty spheres. Another possible explanation. Peace is very dear. God gives it to those who are distant and those who are close. Which means to say, as Mefarshim explained, there are those who have a relationship with Hashem that's always been strong and never wavered. Those are called tzaddikim. Then there are those who lost their relationship with Hashem. They drifted away from Hashem, but they want to come back. Or they've come back, they've done tshuva. How does Hashem feel about that, as it were? Shalom, shalom, rachav lekarev. Peace, peace to those who are distant and those who are close. Right? Hashem is interested in everybody. Hashem wants a relationship with everyone, even those who have drifted away. You see that it's something that's very dear because Hashem does not give it to the wicked. Pasuk says, also in Isaiah, first pasuk, the Shalom Shalom Rachav Lekarev is in Yishayah Nun Zayin. This one's in Perek Mem Ches, chapter 48 of Isaiah. God says there is no peace for the wicked, which means that it's something that's reserved for the righteous. Peace is something that's precious. It's precious. It's something, you know, think about it. Those who are wicked, they create drama in the world. They don't create connection. They create disconnection. Shalom is about connection. And it could be about connection between those who are not the greatest people, but we still want them to be connected. Like we said earlier. But those who are wicked, so their whole essence is disconnection. So peace is not for them. We find that Pinchas, who did a great, mighty, brave act, caused the end of the plague by killing Zimri, who was connected to a woman in the wrong way, connected to the wrong type of person. Hashem gave Pinchas, who, by the way, is also the same soul as Elio, so we saw something about him earlier. Pinchas is Mida. Hashem gave him the gift of peace. I'm giving to him a covenant of peace. He maintained the peace between heaven and earth, between God and the Jewish people. When Hashem wants to talk about the fact that we're going to be redeemed, that the Geula, the redemption is going to come, the Messianic age is going to arrive, how does he describe it? It's described as peace. Shenema mashmiya shalom. There are the raglim of Aser, the footsteps of the Mavaser. The Mavaser is the one who tells over the news. The one who tells over the news, bringing the news of peace, bringing the news of the redemption. It's peace that he's talking about. That's what the redemption is. That's what it looks like. The lion and the lamb. The nations who, until now, are fighting, Iran and Israel, Russia and Ukraine, etc. There's going to be peace between nations. No longer will they raise their swords to fight each other. They will beat their swords into plowshares. Right? But peace is the description of what it looks like at redemption. So you see how great peace is. Rabbi Levi says, look at the completion of all blessings. Peace is always there at the end. It's the bottom line. It's that which rounds out the blessings. Krishma Chaisem is Bishalom Parasuka Shalom. We daven Ma'ariv. So what's the blessing after Krishma that finishes off the blessings of Krishma? Hashem is going to spread out his tent of peace. Right? Which, by the way, really means that, because what is Kriya Shema? We spoke about it previously, not long ago. Kriya Shema is all about a relationship with Hashem. Everything is Him. Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. It's all one. Love Hashem, fulfill the commandments, do the mitzvahs. We spoke about this last week. But what is the bottom line of all that? What is the result of all that? We're in a state of peace, which means that I should be able to get to a place through the Torah where I don't hold a grudge against you. I let go of that stuff, like we spoke about earlier. But that's the result of the Torah. That's the foundation of the blessings. You want to know how to have blessings? Forgive other people. Birkas Kohenim Chesemes V'yasim L'chashalayim. Right? The beautiful blessing of the priests that they give here in Eretz Yisrael every day. At Shacharis, they give that bracha, Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmerecha, Hashem should bless you. They're the masters of peace. They're the ones who bring the korbanos, the sacrifices on our behalf. They're the ones connecting heaven and earth. They're the ones who give us the blessing out of their love. With love, they bless us. And what's the foundation? Shalom, peace. Yosem lecha shalom, right? It says at the end of the blessing. Another place that we see how precious and important the concept of peace is that what is the consolation that God gives to Jerusalem? Pasuk says again in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, God is going to send a river of peace to Jerusalem. A river of peace. That's a good river. I'd like to jump into a river like that. David Israel. King David says, I was interested, what is Hashem talking about? When he talks about the Jewish people, what does the conversation look like? What's the topic? I wanted to know what he talks about, and I understood, I heard that he's involved with their peace. Shenemar. Pasuk says in Tehillim, written by King David, Perek Pehe, chapter 85. Eshma ma yadaber hakel Hashem. I will hear that which God will speak. Ki yadaber shalom el amu vel chasidav v'goymer. He speaks peace about his nation. He's looking for the good. He's looking for our best. I want to just comment here. I've said this to my kids many times. I think it's important for us to think about, especially as we're in Anila Doidi Vidoidi Li Elul. We have a hard time forgiving. We're human. We have a hard time letting go of stuff. And we think, therefore, that God has a hard time forgiving us. I can bring proofs to it. Whoever thinks that Hashem is just mevater, he just lets go of stuff. Don't think that. Chazal say that. But on a deep level, it says, Hashem is compassionate. Hashem gives free gifts. Hashem is a chayin, which means that he pardons people even though they don't deserve it. Hashem is a compassionate one. He's a gracious one who forgives a lot. This is his midah, the midah of shalom. We got to work on this, my friends. We got to work on this, being able to forgive others, to find a place of peace. No, let him apologize first. That's our ego. Let me pray inside of my heart. Let me daven, Hashem, please help me love these people. Hashem, help me forgive these people. Forgiveness is hard. It's a hard thing to give. It's something I need to receive. I need to be able to receive the gift of being able to forgive someone else, because as long as I don't forgive somebody else, I have that resentment inside of my heart. I'm killing myself. Shenemar, okay. Amar Reb Shimon ben Chalavta. Let's read the final statement of the Medrash before we close it out here. Re'eh me'achav Yerushalayim. See how beloved is peace. Kishabikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu levarches Yisrael. L'matza klish u'machza kol habrachas levarchan b'yel Yerushalayim. When Hashem wanted to give a blessing to the Jewish people, the vessel that holds all the blessings is peace. I can't have a relationship with somebody else unless I have peace with them. Unless I know how to forgive them. I don't wait for them to prove that they're worthy of my forgiveness. I gotta daven that I should be able to forgive people. And then I have peace. That's the kli, that's the vessel. Peace is the vessel that holds all the blessings. Minay shenemar, Hashem oiz lamayutein. Hashem yivarechis amav shalom. Hashem will give power to his nation. Hashem will bless us with peace. You know, we could look back in very recent history. We don't need to look back very far. When Klal Yisrael is not loving each other, we get into trouble. We get into trouble. Our enemies see that we're at each other's throats. They see we're vulnerable. And the greatest power, where is the power? Hashem oiz lamayutein. Where does Hashem give us the power? It comes through peace. It comes when we can forgive each other. We can forgive the person who's hurting us. Doesn't mean that what they're doing is okay. But I can let go of it. I can let go of believing that it's happening without Hashem's will, as it were. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us. As we begin Elul, as we're in the countdown to the high holidays, Hashem should help us to have some peace. Hashem should help us pray for forgiveness. Pray to look past the mistakes of others and ourselves. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.